next time for all things gardening, and it's made possible by Gardener Supply and Vermont Victory Greenhouses. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Mary.
Charlie, in a moment, we'll tackle a listener's question about growing tomato plants to avoid blight. But first, I love this topic, the whole feng shui aspect of it, and I tried it with success last spring. I'm looking forward to doing it again in our no-dig garden bed, and I'm referring to succession planting and mapping out what veggies go where and using all the available soil. Can you guide us through succession planting?
Yes, I'd love to. You know, it's a great technique to use because it requires less space than you normally would have for a vegetable garden. So maybe you don't have to do as many raised beds to get as much production. And you're getting multiple crops per bed. You're packing them in close together so you don't have as many weeds. And it's just a lot easier. But it does require some planning, and now is the time to do it. As we're getting ready to plant our peas and our lettuces and our radishes and all that other kind of stuff, now is a good time to actually map out each one of your beds and decide what's going to be planted when during the summertime. So for example, succession planting is where you take cool season crops that you're planting this time of year, you let them grow, you enjoy them, you eat them, and then as the summer starts, you have all these warm season crops that you can plant in the summer that you'll grow and enjoy and eat, and then come back with another cool season crop for the fall. This works really well. Let me give you some examples. So this time of year, you could be planting arugula and lettuce and radishes, and all of those will grow really well. And then by the time you get to June or so, you can put in some bush beans right where those plants were planted. Just plant some bush beans in there. You can, in fact, plant bush beans right up until the end of July, and you'll do okay and still get a crop. When the bush beans are done, come, say, August or so, don't be soft-hearted. You know, as soon as they aren't producing much anymore, cut them right down, chop them right down, and plant some spinach for the fall. So that way you have three crops in that one bed. Another example is if you're growing peas. A lot of us love to grow peas early in the season. We might even put some lettuce and radishes around those peas. But when they're done, say end of June or so, put in a crop of cucumbers. You can get a late crop of cucumbers, especially a bush variety, and they'll do really well. You can trellis them up. When they start fading come September, then you could put in some kale or maybe even some late carrots, depending on where you are, and you can get a crop of those for the fall. And finally, garlic and onions. Everyone's got their garlic and onions starting to come up already. When they're done, come mid-July, I like putting in fall broccoli or fall cauliflower. They usually need to be planted end of July, early August. Good timing to do it. And then you get a nice crop of those brassicas into the fall where they hold longer and they taste even better. So that's one kind of way to do it. There's another one called intercropping, where you take advantage of the size of the plant. So for example, tomatoes have to be spaced 3 to 4 feet apart because they'll get big. But before they get big, you have all that room in between. I just put in like salad mixed greens and all kinds of different greens in there and just let them grow. And then you can just harvest those greens all summer long. Once those tomatoes get big enough, they'll eventually shade them out. You're never going to have to weed anything because you've been harvesting from that bed. And the tomatoes won't be any worse for the wear. And finally, you could actually use this combination to help keep pests away too. So if you have zucchini and summer squash that get squash bugs, grow nasturtiums next to them. Make sure you grow the nasturtiums early and make sure you have a nice big plant out there before you even put the zucchini in, so that when those squash bugs and squash vine borers come, they won't be able to get the scent of the zucchini because it'll be masked by the nasturtiums. So these are some fun things you can do to really maximize the production in your garden.
Brilliant. Okay, here's that question from Kevin in Panton. And Kevin writes, every year my tomatoes get blight. I'm out of ideas. Then I heard of hay bales. Is this fake news, or can one really grow tomatoes in hay bales? If so, no more raised beds. Hooray. Why have I never thought of this?
It is not fake news. It is real news. And this is a really good way to grow tomatoes if you have problems with blight, because you're going to condition a hay bale or a straw bale for about 2 weeks by watering it every day. And then every other day, you're going to put some fertilizer on it. It could be an organic fertilizer or chemical fertilizer. After 2 weeks, get a little bit of potting soil, put it on the top of the bale, stick in your tomato transplant, put a cage up around it or however you're going to trellis it, and let it grow. What you'll see it'll happen is that because you don't have any soil there, you have very little blight diseases on the leaves. They're also elevated off the ground, so you don't have critters bothering them either. And you get a lot of production. So if you have problems with blight on your leaves, I would say go ahead and create a whole hay bale garden just for your tomatoes, and see how it does.
So cool. If you've got a question, then send it to us. Just visit vpr.org, search for All Things Gardening, submit your question there. And to listen back to this, you can find this episode wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.